And I had a little bit about the origins of the duck. So as far as like stat chat.
Everyone I've known who's not been a big cricket fan has always been aware of that little duck, though.
You know,
he walks on, he's all full of pep. He gets straight out and puts his hat around backwards.
Well, if people that aren't into cricket, you got to understand it's bizarre. Because you're watching it like, oh, who's winning? Well, that's difficult to answer. Okay, so I don't get that as a sport. And then they're doing weird things. And then a cartoon duck walks on the screen, and that's part of it. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's the duck.
It's the duck.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the duck is like a part of the game. I think it's more of a way to explain that someone's got out without contributing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I understand that and why they celebrate it, but like the first time you see it, you're like, what is this game?
Yeah, fair enough. I get it. Are we starting?
No, yeah. I almost wanted to like launch into the duck.
Oh, sorry. Should we just launch into the duck if that's where the heat is? I just want to mention that sporting...
The phrase launch into the duck. I'd like to change, just put my hand up and say
I'd like to request
a different phrase we're using.
Well, before...
As much as I like to launch myself into a good duck, there's
something
better. Weird about that.
Then tuck it into a good duck.
See, tucking in's even better, but launching, like, there's just...
You preferred tuck
there's,
over
for
launch.
For me, when I think the word launch, there's a certain thrusting motion, propulsion. I don't want to thrust toward a duck.
Okay, all right, then we will change the name.
Well,
tuck into a duck is what I...
Okay, you prefer tuck into the duck? All right.
Before we tuck into the duck, I've got a bit of an announcement to make for you guys.
Hit us.
Sporting Woods is going to be... archived in the National Film and Sound Archive of Australia.
What film are we in?
Oh, that's a separate film called Sporting Woods. That's
yeah, they mistook
that
us.
That was a terrible mix-up.
for a porno.
70s porno. Sticky
it's
wickets.
Like a World Series, yeah. Like all the mustaches, 70s music and shit.
The West Indians come out.
That's the only reason why people listen. They think we're affiliated to that movie.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that was a classic film.
Got him.
Let's take a walk.
The last ball, would you believe it?
So this is going in the Hall of Fame, Michael, into the...
It literally is this chat. Yes.
Oh, my God.
For as long as Australia exists, basically.
So the next time they send shit out to, like, Mars, and they send those, like, time capsule things, we're going to be in it.
Look forward
to that, Mars.
As long as the aliens are like, let's check their archives, the National Film and Sound Archives, and then search for podcasts. But like, that one's called Sporting Woods.
Why wouldn't they do that?
What a hilarious penis.
Yes. I see what they've done there.
Cricket. Bats.
Balls. Sporting Woods.
No, it's right. You're not an idiot.
Are we going to have this in the podcast, mate?
Have you got the runs?
Cricket. Bats.
Balls.
Words, and then make like a...
Anywho, so that's a cool thing for us.
That's very cool. That's very, very cool.
Here we are in Season 8, Episode 2. The test series against South Africa is well underway. The crazy scheduled test series. We're in the first leg of the worldwide tour the Aussies are doing. But it got off to a good start for the Australians.
Yeah.
I'm here with Luke and Michael, as always.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of it? It was a lot of drama.
Lot of drama. So much drama. And it always is when we play South Africa in South Africa.
It always is when it's us.
It's great. It's always a great
contest.
And
that's another thing too. Like, we're the villains. Like, let's be honest. Australians are the villains. We're always the villains. But that's all right. I don't mind.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Because you can see that international viewers watch the Australian Test Series.
Yeah.
People talk about, like, cricket struggling. It's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure all of the Australian series, people are talking about the crowds. We'll get into that stuff. There's a whole bunch of extenuating circumstances that contribute to it. Also that, you know, people are obviously getting more involved in the limited overs games. Anyway,
moving on.
We're going to have to start.
But we've got the first test under, it's all completed, all said and done in 5 days, which I think must have frustrated the Aussies late on day 4. Just one wicket to get and they couldn't get the buggers out. But, you know, that's the game. That's why we came back for the last half or the next half an hour on day five. Mm. But there were some huge takeouts to take from it, you know, like we, going over there, we're not sure whether Australia's, you know, bowling stocks. We were pretty confident, but, you know, it's a different location. They've come off of big Ashes. We've got the same with the batting, you know.
South like, Africa also have a good South bowling attack.
Huge bowling attack. Maharaj was on fire, you know. It was very, very, very good. It was interesting to see him perform and Lyon not as much. And one of the things I heard was that Lyon was really rushing through his overs.
It's always his biggest fault. When he bowls real flat and real fast.
And that's what he was doing. He was trying to get through his
overs. It negates his number one strength, which is bounce.
Yep.
He gets overspin. He's always going to get good bounce. But if you're darting him in, you're not using that weapon that you've got.
You're missing it, yeah.
Throw it up a little bit. And that was the difference between the two. I still think Lyon was getting more out of the pitch.
Oh, he was hitting that rough spot. Oh, my God. Some of those were jagging. They were going to right angles. But, it was fun to
watch. But it also was, I think there is value to what you're saying because there's also more consistency about the way. So even if it's turning a foot, if every ball's turning a foot, it becomes easier to face.
Yeah.
So I think, that's what Lyon needs. The only thing he ever needs to really work on is having the confidence to toss it up.
Yeah.
Get hit for a couple of boundaries, man. Don't worry about it. But, you know, and that's why I get annoyed when people jump on his back when he does go for a few runs because it usually is after he's tossed it up a bit. But that's what's going to get you wickets, and he's there to take wickets.
Yeah.
Anyways, I thought the standout performance, while, you know, everyone will talk about Mitchell Starc, and rightfully so, he was incredible. I also think that it must be taken into account in that first innings how he took apart the tail.
Oh.
Incredible reverse swing bowling, which, you know, if you've got a guy like him in your team, you really are a good chance to rip apart half of the attack.
I think they went 5 for 12.
Yeah. But I also think there's a lot to be said about the way that Cummins and Hazelwood bowled. They put it on a spot. They allowed Starc to be the weapon.
Yeah.
Because they gave nothing away at the other end. So I think, again, our bowling attack, while as opposed to the England Ashes where they all got equal share of the wickets, this time it was Starc.
Yeah.
I still think the bowling team effort, incredible. We've got a really good bowling attack.
Yeah, and it's really helped with you've got Mitchell Marsh, who was able to sort of tie up an end or at least to bowl a couple of overs to give him a rest and come out and make the runs as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, really, how big was that 96 huge. In the context of the game? Massive. How big was that 96?
Massive.
In the first
it was a game changer. Yeah. You know, like ability to come down at the end of the, you know, that number six, you know, five or six, wherever he's batting at the moment.
Six.
And do what he did. You know, that's what we've been asking for years.
Well, it was the fact that at that point when he came in, we weren't in a good position.
No, God no.
And we weren't. Completely, it wasn't like we were 4 for 20.
No,
but we were 4 for 20.
Blaze it,
jeez, it just comes out. But
you know, in South Park where they have like the Randy Shitting episode and the award nominations keep coming up on the screens.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking now. Every time that sort of stuff happens, yeah, yeah, like 4 for 20 blazes. The National Sound and Film Archives of Australia.
To me, I'll be real right now. I had never heard of the National Film and Sound Archive before this.
Well, they're,
so I don't feel to me that they're up at that point where I can't make a couple dick jokes or Randy. What did I even say? I can't remember.
Oh, you made
420
a
blaze it. Yeah, yeah. I can 420 blaze joke. Just because you put me in some archive doesn't mean you control me, National Arts and Sound Association or whatever the fuck you are. You don't control me. That's all I'm saying.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Don't try and control me.
I don't think they can.
Nobody's.
I'm not sure that they can kick us out either. Like,
well, they said in the email that from concerned Redditor or whatever the hell the person it was who sent it to us,
a concerned member of the public.
Yeah, he said, or she. We don't actually know. They didn't gender it, but they said, so this, regardless of how much longer you produce your podcast. Your works will be discoverable for generations to come.
Oh, there you go.
By the NFSA.
It's too bad for everyone.
That's what I'm saying. People on Mars are going to be listening to this shit. Like, they'll be like,
what does 420 blaze it mean?
I love the sound of that. Sporting Woods for generations to come.
Again, Randy Marsh thing.
Yeah.
Shitting episode. We were talking about cricket.
Oh, I don't know, mate.
I was going to say, it was funny. Well, to be honest, we were going pretty hard.
Yeah.
We needed something to break the ice. We need that. Trevor Marmalade delivers again. But it's crazy to think, like, Mitch Marsh, the most hated, after Watson, he's probably been the
middle
most...
Middle order, all-rounder. He's taken a fair bit of flack, and the last little bit he's really, you know, shone out. And yeah, all he had to do was hit it over the top of Mornay Morkel. He happened to pick out the tallest bloke in, you know, international cricket.
But an innings like that, and it was a silly shot. This is where people still, like, you got to put it into context. Like, yeah, he didn't get the 100, but who cares? Yeah. He played that anchor role.
Yeah,
96, exactly. 102. Who cares? What's the difference? Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, six. But, you know, it's to me, the in the context of the game, what he did was the difference in those first two innings.
Yeah.
You know, which gave, again, that adds to what Stark can do, because there's more pressure on that tail batsman because the top order. That's what Test cricket is. It's compounding things, whereas smaller games, it's, you just it's have a crack, tickle, and if it if it comes off, you win. Mm. That's why this game's better. The point I want to say is, it's funny how he is the most hated guy, and then people all of a sudden after this 96, which I think is a little ridiculous, talking about he's going to be, he's like a future captain, and you're like, oh, what? Come on, man.
Well, I guess he is he's the skipper of Western Australia, I'm pretty sure.
Sure, but just leave him alone. He's played like two good innings.
Yeah, I've never
let him
that.
Settle. Let him find his place in the team and prove himself more. That's what we gave these guys credit, like they're legends after one or two innings. Yeah. Sit there and pat them on the back
legendary
and go, well done,
effort,
mate. Yeah.
But doesn't make you a legend of the sport.
No, exactly. It might be an innings remembered.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that he's, I don't know. I just think we're getting ahead of ourselves a lot of the
time. I mean,
time.
Like, how old is Stephen Smith? He's like 28. Mm. I mean, he's got at least 6 years in him.
Yeah.
There is another 24-year-old in 6 years' time that's probably going to be knocking down the door on this. Yeah, so that's crazy.
And
talk.
Again, like, rather than, I'm not even going logical about it. I'm just like, just get just off the guy's back. I know you got to try and create stories and shit, but just get off his back. Just talk about what a good knock it was.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, speaking of good knocks, Markram's opening stance in the second innings.
I've never heard of him before this test. I'll be honest.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. There's a couple of the guys who I too hadn't heard of as far as the
I think he was the only one.
He was sensational. He looked really, really good at the top and batted very well when everyone around him was doing crazy
his
shit.
His first 50 of 100 was really impressive because that was Australia were really on top.
Oh, absolutely.
And all that shit was going on around him, you know, had the stuff with the run out and
yeah.
So the way he held his composure, what, he's only played like six tests or
yeah, he's only a youngie. Test. Yeah. Yeah. He's real early.
That kind of stuff's always really impressive. And again, it was an innings built on grit, which is what we really appreciate on Sporting Woods.
reaching for it.
I'm trying. Yeah, something there. No. But yeah, so I was impressed with that. It wasn't some flashy knock. This was a genuine test innings.
Yep.
Unfortunate that people couldn't hang in there with him.
Yeah, I mean, he ran out AB. But that doesn't help. But
yeah, that's true.
But I think, honestly, it was AB's call. I don't know
why. It's always the person running to the danger end's call. Yeah,
so. I just don't know why he went in the first place. But anyway, I guess that's the situation.
Shall we dip our toes into some of the controversial situations?
All right, you know that we don't deal in crazy, in what the media is up about, but we'll do a little bit just because I don't think we have. There's
it's
so
worth
much
talking
of it.
About.
So much.
Yeah,
I reckon it's worth talking about because it touches on the subject we've talked about before. We've had a lot of like our opinions on sledging shouldn't be a surprise. To
we just the
listeners.
Modern generation just can't do it.
And that's what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, we're talking about sledging.
I'm keeping up.
Yeah. Well, and there's a few other things too. Like, but I think let's start with one that's, I think, is obviously wrong. The bloke has admitted he's wrong. He's regretted it. That was Nathan Lyon after on it, dropping the ball on AB. I don't know why he would have done that.
Think that was that big of a deal.
I think it's still, you know, it's still a little bit like, no, if you got run out off your first ball in that huge moment and the guy dropped the ball on you, you'd be like, fuck.
But
you,
he didn't
bro.
Drop the ball on him. He dropped it next to him. I just don't know if it's that big a deal. Honestly,
that still seems like this is the first I'm hearing of this.
Michael,
by the way.
Bring up the footage. Okay. So you can speak for yourself.
And again, you are aware who I am and how much I love Nathan Lyon. So
I was going to say, it sounds like it's a bit unsportsmanlike.
I don't think
you have to give the basketball to the other team.
Yeah, and you throw it harder than you do. Again, but it's a fraction of a second thing. I'm not going to judge the guy forever on
it. For sure.
I think it's one of the things. And as long as
the moment.
And the way he responded, it was like, I probably shouldn't have done it. And I regret doing it. And it's because AB's a good bloke. I don't think, you know, for all this stuff, I don't think there really is an issue between Australia and South Africa. I think David Warner's just a tool.
Yeah, he really.
I've always sort of said
he's an
that.
Attack dog, you know?
He's a bogan. And he doesn't.
Is he. I wanted to bring this up later because we're in the middle of talking about controversy.
Yeah.
But David Warner being a politician, good idea or great idea?
Well, he's the guy that like wanted to be a politician a couple of days ago and then is now barking at people.
He's an idiot.
Nah, can you imagine him going up against like political? I don't even want to. Yeah, no.
He's at that point where he's so simple that it's nearly like missing it. You know, is it? Yeah, like the way I'm explaining this is an example.
A few stumps short of
an example of David Warner. Just can't really. He's missing something, which like is for me the punchline to this story.
I'm not sure where this is going, Jones, but yeah, no, I'll bring up the footage
got,
for you.
Got
We've got the video
footage.
Visual footage for you. Oh my
which
god,
which is good for an audio podcast.
It's yes. always good when it comes to podcasts is when we bring out the audio. All right, Michael, are you watching? So he dropped. And he dropped the ball. Oh. He dropped the ball right next to him. We might show you here a bit better.
Maybe.
Here we go.
Can I see it again?
Yeah. So that's my David Warner barking at him.
I don't think Lyon should be punished because he was like, that's a dumb thing to do.
That looks a lot more innocent than what I was thinking. That could just be like I'm about to go run jump in the thing mate. With my mates.
Well, after you take a wicket, ball it's customary that you throw the ball to the umpire.
Right.
So that you can't take it over to your mates and fuck with the ball
in
the huddle.
So there's a picture. He's dropped it right next to him.
So you have to get rid of the ball. So there's an argument. I can see the argument that he did it and then just dropped it because he was that was where he was running to.
Mm. If you want to be a dick about that, there are more dickish ways of doing that.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't think it was
think so either, but I still think if he had been in his right mind and been thinking clearly, he probably wouldn't have done it, which is a textbook example of an accident or, where you go, I fucked up.
Well, what he received, he was charged with a level one breach, which has seen the off spinner fine 15% of his match fees and one demerit point, adding to his record. 4 points would result in missing a test match. He was found in breach of Article 2.1.1 of the ICC Code of Conduct, which relates to conduct that is contrary to the spirit of the game. Now, from what I can tell, David Warner hasn't lost any.
They
must be doing something.
Tribunal.
There's got to be something because he barked. So, in case you don't know, Michael, on day four during the tea break, they all went up the stairs and both teams.
Oh, that's what I thought we were going to talk about. Start with.
Yeah. So he goes up the stairs. So they're both teams, but the footage is great. I wish we had the audio. I mean, again, podcast, but. As he's coming up.
We can post it. Check it out on our probably Instagram.
Anyway,
possibly
anyway
Facebook.
You can see it anyway.
We'll like it.
But he's barking at Quinton de Kock. And I don't know what it was about, but I think Jones
does. He's barking. Is it like...
He's real going him. Like, he's shouting.
For a second thought you meant because remember when the Aussies did that for a bit?
Yeah,
I do remember. To someone, I can't remember what it was about, but... They would bark at people when they got up. Yeah. I thought it was great.
So he's doing that.
That's
a weird thing to do.
But
man.
The best part about the whole thing is that there's big arguments going on outside of the two change rooms. And like Quinton de Kock's there and he's trying to get past. And, you know, Smith is holding him back. And so is Usman and Tim Payne and da da. And AB de Villiers comes out. He's in a towel. Like he's come back outside and he's just like, yeah, what's going on here, bro? Hey, what's the deal? And then in comes. Rabada like goes right in behind him and they're like, yo, what's up? And then the fight went away and it was like, did AB de Villiers just walk out in a fucking towel and stop a fight? Like, he is peak alpha.
They were never going to fight, man. That's the whole thing that I think would be the best way to get rid of this shit would be like, okay, if I recognize a sort of verbal conflict going on between two opposing players... we're just going to ice hockey the fuck out of this and you guys are just going to start going.
Yeah, I was
going
to say.
Because I guarantee you so many people would shut up.
It's the Red Foreman from that 70s show. Yeah. And the two of the characters are arguing and, you know, they really hate each other. And Red comes down and goes, right, well, the only way to settle this is 10 rounds of bare knuckle boxing. Yeah. And the kid's like, we're not doing that. And it's like, well, then it's not worth fighting about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're not willing to put 10 rounds of fighting into it, then it's not worth it.
Do you know, whenever I see a fight, the person I hate most is neither of the people getting in the fight. It's that person going, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And trying to pull them back. I hate that person.
You want to fight that person?
I hate that person more. That's why, if I'm ever, I've never done this. But I want to go up and push that person over and start a fight with them just so those two can get back at it. Because you're just like, you wanker, you're not involved, stay out of it. So, yeah, I just think in that situation, let them go at it. We'll get to see how shit they are at fighting. We'll all make fun of them about it, and they'll probably never do it again.
There's a good argument for that. I think we're inciting violence again.
How often do we get CCTV footage of the stairwells in cricket?
I think it's just in South Africa. There's no rules.
When the media go, fuck it.
They do. They just totally Let's do it. So they have the microphones up on the pitch, which they
pretty
don't...
Pretty tricky precedence has been set now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Because I'm sure there has been, over the years, some shit go on in some hallways.
Between locker rooms,
yeah,
I'm
sure. Yeah, for sure, dude. Yeah. Hang on, I've read the books. There's definitely been shit go on. And it's like, yeah, no one else has released that to the public.
Yeah,
you have South Africa.
Yeah,
so
here we are.
There's the precedent
Let's
hope you're squeaky clean.
Yeah, that's it.
More locker room footage.
Yeah. Where's AB in his towel? They've turned up the microphones and the ICC have been like, oh, you probably shouldn't. South African cricket, like, yeah, we are going to do this. So they turned up the microphones so you can hear everything, right? So you get to hear all the banter, blah, blah, blah. One of the things that the Australians
like when you're watching it.
Yeah. Like,
and they also,
the game,
I know what you're leading to, and they did this years ago.
Yeah, so Gilchrist did this. Adam
it's
Gilchrist
one of the best videos you'll ever hear, right?
Yeah. So Adam Gilchrist...
Castrol GB! Oiled up with Castrol! Go,
So what happened was, midway through the game, the Aussies just started spruiking the Australian sponsors. So giving shout-outs to Forex, to Qantas, for giving them the flights over. They're like, yeah.
That is sledging. Yeah. That's cheeky, that's fun, that fucks with them, but it's not aggressive. Mm. That's sledging.
Yeah. So
fucking with them.
Yeah. So Gilchrist did it a couple of years ago with oils, and yeah, it's one of those classic things that when the microphone's
feeling that energy with Vita Bits or sort of
whatever it was.
God, I'm feeling good at it.
Yeah, you're going to give us a mic.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And that was why he did it. So
because that's really clever.
The TV people go, no, we don't give free advertising. We sell advertising.
Yeah.
You're giving away for free. And it's like, yeah, turn it down then.
And thanks to
exactly.
If you don't want to hear it,
it's hilarious. And I think anyone who's got an issue with that is weirdly attached to products or...
How dare they? Yeah. So we've had a telegram from Tim, just in his thoughts and opinions on the cricket. We had a little chitter-chatter with him during the game. So Tim's points were sort of about Stark and his ability to swing the ball, and that was incredible. But the big question that Tim's asked is Hashim Amla and AB under the pump? Will they, either or, need an Alistair Cook type of innings in the Ashes to keep their series alive? The simple answer? I don't think so.
I don't think they'll drop those two at all during the series.
I think
it's possible they might retire at the end of the series, though.
Hmm.
I think leaning towards De Villiers than Amla.
Yeah.
I think
I'd go Amla over De Villiers.
I think Amla is more likely to eventually be dropped. So if he retires, I think there might have been a tap on the shoulder. But with AB, I think South African cricket would love him playing tests for longer. Yeah. But I think he's the kind of guy that you can understand. He's played over 100 tests, hasn't he?
He's done his time.
This is what when people talk about Chris Gayle and stuff not doing enough for Western, or they're out making money. It's like, dude, they played like 100 tests.
Yeah.
So once you play 100 tests, you've probably done your
time. You've done your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the only issue you're going to find is that...
No need to beat up the equipment.
The only issue you're going to find with it all is that potentially you're losing Hashim Amla, AB de Villiers, Dale Steyn, Mono Morkel's already said that this is his last series. You're losing a lot of South African batting and bowling stocks all at once. I think the bowling will be fine.
What they've shown with the bowling coming through. That's another reason why Markram's innings was huge.
Oh, incredible.
Because they need the younger fellas to stand up. I think a guy they really need to stand up is Quinton de Kock.
Mm.
I think...
he played all right.
Yeah, he did play all right. I think the Aussies didn't push line on him enough in the second innings.
Okay.
I think they let him off the hook by keeping the pace on. I think he struggled a little bit with Lyon. But again, I'll be honest, I only saw probably like a total of about 60% of this match.
Sure.
So I would just like to see, it'll be interesting to see how all this drama and stuff
plays out
into the next test, because I think I don't know if Warner's the kind of guy that if he puts pressure on himself lives up to it. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're talking about like AB de Villiers and guys like that, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, they're a different echelon.
Yeah, they go about it differently. Warner is likely to have a flashy knock, but if the pressure's on, if it's tight, bowling's tight, you know that everyone's going to be on their A game when he's on strike. How's he going to handle that?
Yeah,
be interesting to see.
Well, I don't mind, honestly. I don't mind David Warner barking like an idiot in that level of sledging, as long as he can back it up when he gets fucked. as long as is when the team and almost he kind of showed that he can't when he's yelling at de Kock in the changing room.
That's so the whole
if
thing.
If you can't dish it, if you can't take it, do not dish it out.
I have an issue with it. Bad sledging is embarrassing. Embarrassing, especially when you're a team representing.
You're right, and he's the vice captain, I get all of that. But Virat Kohli is like personification of that level of just like getting fired up, and I fucking love it.
I love
when he does that. Yes, he feels the passion of the team. I get it, it's OTT, but as long as he can take it, and Virat can, because he's a surly prick, but you know, but it's all part of it. Like he's happy to take it. He's shitty about it, but it's all part of his persona. It's all part of the same.
I'm not saying it has to all be some sort of Oxford witty, like every time your concubine has sex with me, she gives me a biscuit. That sort of stuff. But
that is classy.
There's got to be, just clever ways of expressing that sort of hate.
I think the way that Warnie called Ian Bell Shermanator. Mm. To me, that's a great example of a hilarious sledge.
Yeah.
It's not offensive. I'm calling you the character of a.
It's got to be like a little itch. We're
having fun at it. We're laughing. And you're struggling. It's not like, oh, I fucked your mom or I had sex with your wife.
It's not abuse.
Yeah, it's just like...
The idea is to slightly take away at the attention of the batsman.
That's it. It's about the attention. It's not about upsetting them.
That said, with Markram...
I'm
going to
punch you in the face.
With Markram, they were like, oh, you ran out AB, the best batsman in your team, isn't that, da-da-da-da-da. And then Tim Payne came out and he was like, well, it didn't work though, did it? You hit 143, so...
No, but that's all right, sledging.
It's all right, sledging. And Markram came out and said it. It was like, no, there's nothing wrong with that. It's all part of it.
Absolutely, that's fine. Yeah. That's gamesmanship.
Because it's saying, like,
saying, oh, I was balls deep in your wife last night isn't.
No.
That's being a douchebag.
Yeah, I'll
and
give
if,
you that.
If Warner's out there saying that shit, he deserves everything he gets. If then he can't take it, then, it just shows what a coward he is.
Yeah.
And he should shut his mouth and never say anything again. My favorite thing to sum it up was Chris Tremlett, who used to play for England, who was admittedly a really big, tall guy, but he was pretty skinny. He quit cricket and now is like a bodybuilder. This motherfucker is like 130 kilos, 6'8" and 130 kilos.
Enormous.
Just a monster. And he's like, boy, yeah, I would have been terrified if 5'5" David Warner was screaming, yelling at me and running at me. It's just like, suck shit, Warner. And it is. It's little man syndrome.
Yeah.
He's more bark than bite. Like I said, the funniest thing would be to step away and let him go at it and see him be like, it's like a dog, you know, a dog barking. If you open the door, it runs out and goes, oh shit, I'm getting back inside. So that's what I reckon it would be.
Not far from the truth.
So that's pretty much the wrap up of the first test. If you think we missed anything, feel free to
suck my balls. No.
Feel free to go on our Facebook and tell us what we missed, and we'll have a good old conversation about it.
More than happy to.
But we are going to. We found last episode we had a huge amount of feedback for our trivia section from Luke. I mean, people were all over it.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. I swamped.
Some of the comments I can read out. What is this shit? Why is Facebook suggesting these videos?
We don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to say anymore.
But yeah, so the feedback was awesome. We're going to go into it again. Named it yet?
No, they're all ever changing. This one I'm calling Tangy Terms.
What was last week's?
Fuck you, quizzes.
We'll edit that back in. We'll just...
Mr. Blake. No,
okay.
I
enjoyed last week. So
last week was quizzes.
It was quizzes on Cow Corner.
Yes, that's right.
And you had a great one about the...
I did think I was pretty great.
Yeah.
I thought I did.
I do remember thinking I am great.
Jeez, I've done well.
All right. Well, this one's called Tangy Terms. Right, now, Michael, I've written up on the board... On the laser display board, on this side, we have three different terms, right? On the right side, we've got three sports, right? Now, what it says is, the first one is duck snort, spitting cobra, and Adolf Hitler.
Adolf. I didn't see the L.
Adolf Hitler, right? The three sports are golf, baseball, and cricket. I want you to match up which one correlates to which sport, which term. Well,
let's go over it again. There's two columns. Down one on the left side is duck snort, spitting cobra, and Adolf Hitler. On the right is three sports, golf, baseball, cricket. Let's match them. Now, duck snort. I have heard of rip snorter. So, I have never heard of a duck
swan. Yeah, so these are all moves, right? I'm assuming
these are
like
sporting terms that are used within terms, the with yeah. their tangy terms.
I think a spitting cobra is baseball.
Why do you think that?
Because they have the pitcher has a ball where they bowl. It's called a it's called a splitter.
Okay,
and it dips in the air. I don't know. Maybe that's tenuous. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, golf's got that same sort of. It could be something to do with.
Look,
the air.
Whoever's got a term Adolf Hitler is. That's a bit.
I'm thinking golf. That seems like you got a 40 over, not over, but you know, like they've got those really specific circumstances and like, oh, that's called a this and that's called that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
so that's what my gut's saying.
I mean, I know in golf they have the four when you might get hit, and maybe. It's just like a really bad one. They double it and add one, and it's a nine. Maybe that's what it is.
It was so bad, it was double plus one.
Adolf Hitler died in a bunker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Yeah. All right.
Baseballers snort a lot of coke.
That's true. That's true. There could be a kind of cocaine.
Yeah.
From ducks, made from ducks.
I'm feeling the duck snort is a double bluff, like it's probably not cricket.
Because
cricket has ducks. And if you've never heard of a duck snort either, I mean.
Ooh, let's not base it off what I know. But like I said, I've heard of rip snort. I've heard of a rip snorter, which is a good ball, is what the way I've always known it. Predominantly one that goes past the nose, I think. But
so maybe
again,
like
I don't
duck
even
snort
know
is one of those that like gets someone out.
I'm going to have to rush you up here.
Okay, sorry. Look, do you want to lock in Hitler and golf just to get that
okay,
out of the way?
We'll do that.
And then let's go spitting cobra, baseball.
All right.
And then duck snort cricket.
Okay.
Is that what
yeah,
we're
I
feeling?
Mean, that's, I think we have got caught out, but let's go with it. Let's
all right.
How many out of three?
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, ready.
Okay. You've got one out of three.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Geez.
All right. So a duck snort is a baseball term.
Oh, no.
It's a term for a softly hit ball that just lands over the infield fieldsman and in front of the outfield fieldsman.
That was a duff.
No,
it duffed it.
It's yeah, it duffed it, but duck snort. It was originally called a duck fart, but was made for a duck snort to sort of appeal more to the masses. So a duck snort is when you hit the ball and it lands in between the two because you fluff the shot.
You framed it.
You framed it. Yeah, you framed it.
Yeah.
Right? A spitting cobra is a cricket term. It's when a fast bowler's delivery bounces up off the wicket more than the batsman is expecting, causing the batsman's helmet or gloves to come into play. So it's when the ball spits off the deck.
Okay.
Right, comes up, ooh, shit.
I've heard of it spit. I've never really called a cobra.
It's called a spinning cobra.
Right.
Yep. Now, and Michael, very good work with the Adolf Hitler. Yeah. And Adolf
it's,
Hitler.
It's not Adolf. I need to just do it. That's three times now.
A-D-O-L-F.
Adolf. Oh, it's Adolf. Adolf. Yeah, it's Adolf, yeah. Right, whatever. Adolf Hitler is a golf term, and it's a term for
the most notorious human being in the history of the world.
You know what's even worse?
Bart's teacher's name's Krabappel. All this time I've been calling her Crandall. Oh, I've been making an idiot of myself.
If we turn our eyes to the laser display board, I think you'll find that Luke spelt it correctly on the board.
He did.
He knows how it's spelt.
That's what I said. There's no L there. I even made. I was worried.
He knows that.
I was worried. I was making too many jokes about it, but you kept doing it.
I was like, oh, you know, there is an L. I can see the L. What's he talking about? Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler is a golf term, which is for two shots in the bunker.
That is cool. Okay.
Yeah.
While that was a little bit, I was like, oh, bringing Hitler into your sport, eh?
Yeah. Right.
That's actually quite clever.
It's quite clever. Two shots in the bunker.
I get it.
Is an Adolf Hitler.
Okay.
Anyway, that's the little tangy terms for the day.
Well, what an appropriate ending for such a thrilling episode.
Yeah.
Of the nationally
we'll call this episode
archived
the Fever Dream.
We're all sick.
Yeah,
we've all got colds.
Yeah, we've all been sick for 8 seasons.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. This has all been a dream, hasn't it? And then make like a
So look, off the back of our National Film and Sound Archive, I'm assuming we can use our sound credits to hook up with some film people and
obviously
do Sporting Woods, the major motion picture.
The musical?
It's inevitable.
Oh, there'll be music, yeah.
Obviously.
I decide.
I think you do the movie film first.
Film first.
I think people are more inclined to see a film as opposed to theater,
Broadway.
But then bring it back.
No, I mean, we'll throw a couple songs in the film, so that way you can just
natural progression. Okay, all right, fine. No worries at all.
Mm-hmm.
Sporting Woods, the board game. That's probably a bit more realistic. Yes. We should think about
Hello.
That.
Sporting Woods, the app. Could we have an app?
Sure. I mean,
fuck it.
I think we should just have
it. It could just be like, you know, you click it and it's like, ooh, are you Sporting Woods? And you click it and it's like,
Sporting Woods, the George Foreman grill.
Ooh. I like that.
We'll just have to talk to George.
Nah, we'll be right. We won't bother with that.
Sporting George.
I think we're at the end of this one.
Yeah. I think we're at the end before it started. We appreciate, sincerely appreciate and pity anyone who has sat through this entire episode.
We are so sorry.
But we have had a good time. It's got us through. We look forward to the next test. Hopefully, there's some actual punch-ups rather than just this dick teasing.
How far away is the next test?
It starts Friday.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. It'll be sometime next week.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Mm-hmm.